It's working. Okay, let's continue. So we said last week we showed the background of Rav and how Rav really, I think, stood out more than anybody else, more than Shmuel, more than anybody else in that generation, how he was almost the hand-picked, chosen Talmud of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, and he learned by the academy of Rebbe, and he was this, you know, they were talking with each other, fire going from one to the other, and therefore when Rav comes to Bava, we're going to see that this week, almost he's bringing the entire Mesorah, the continuation of the Mesorah of the Nesiyim of Eretz Yisrael, and that's where all the Tanoim were, remember? Eretz Yisrael is where you had Rebbe Kiva, and that's where you had Rebbe Gamliel, Rebbe Eliezer, Rebbe Shua, Rebbe Meir. All the Tanoim, the entire Torah Shebaal Peh, the entire mission that we have, all came from Eretz Yisrael. And Rav is the person learned in Eretz Yisrael all these years in Rebbe's academy, and he's the one who had Smicha from Rebbe, he's the one everything, he comes into Bavel, and we're going to see why he came to Bavel, and we're going to see what happens when he comes to Bavel, and how that shapes the Torah and the entire Yiddishkeit of Bavel. And it's funny because you'll read it and you'll see that today we're 2,000 years later and we can actually relate to it. We can understand what took place, what happened, and how Rav managed to do it. So first, number one on the sheet, why he went down to Bavel. I think we did it once already. We'll do it again very quickly. But Rav have a pasuk sidrach made Rebbe. One day, Rav was teaching the learning in front of Rebbe, and Ayelos Reb Chiya. Remember, he was the Iber Zogger. He had to say over the shir, anybody that came in. So Reb Chiya came in, Reb Chiya was his uncle. Now we know Reb Chiya was his uncle. He was a senior Tana, Reb Chiya, together with Rebbe. He was his uncle, so Reb Chiya came in. Hadal Reishas, he went back to the beginning, and he repeated the whole thing. Ayel Bakapora, Bakapora came in, also one of his Rebbeim. Hadal Reishas, went back in. Also Reb Shimon Rebbe, Reb Shimon, the son of Rebbe, came in, the son of the Nasi. Hadal Reishas, he repeated the whole thing again. Also Reb Chanina came in next, even though Reb Chanina was older than him, and Reb Chanina was the Memala Makam. Rebbe appointed him to be the Av Bezdin after his demise, after his Pedira. So obviously it was very important, but he wasn't his uncle, he wasn't his Rebbe, he wasn't Rabbeinu HaKadosh's son, he was Rebbe Chanina. So almost he said, Kula hai na devin ezel, I'm not repeating it again. I'm not repeating the same shit over again. Lei hada, he did not repeat it. So he got ikbid Rebbe Chanina, so Rebbe Chanina got angry at him, and he was makbid. So ozel Rav al-Gabei, tleisim ala yom kippurim lei fais. And Rav went to ask him forgiveness 13 yom kippurs in a row, and he did not forgive him. Why didn't he forgive him? After all, it says that you have to ask him, first of all, why did he ask him so many times? He says, because your Rebbe, you have to ask as many times. You don't free yourself by saying it three times. But then he might ask a question right at the third line from the end. How did Rebbe Chanina do it like this? Why didn't he forgive him? Says, you have to be easygoing, you have to forgive, you have to let it go. So Gemara says, El Rebbe Chanina chal mechazel el Rav, this gafu bediklo. He had a dream that he saw Rav on top of a palm tree. Ugmira and Ino, beyond we knew, the chol is a gafu bediklo reshaver. When you have such a dream, you see somebody in the palm tree, you know he's going to be a top leader of the generation. So Amar, so he said, Rebbe Chanina said, Shema mino, boy le meved reshuso. In other words, obviously, he needs to become the head in a generation, v'loifais, and therefore, right now I'm the head over here, and I'm over here in Eretz Yisrael, and there's others over here in Eretz Yisrael, therefore, loifais, I will not forgive him, k'hecha delez of ligmo reise b'bovel, so that he should go and teach, look what the words are, v'ligmar reise, and teach Torah b'bovel. That's his ultimate goal, Rav, is to go to Bovel and to teach Torah. Now remember, Bovel had a whole community. Bovel had Nardah. Nardah had Shmuel and Shmuel's father and Kalna, and they had generations of Talmid Chachamim and scholars and Reish Galusas. So what do you mean to teach Torah in Bovel? What other part of Bovel was there? And we'll soon see that there's a whole part of Bovel where people were so amaratzim. They didn't know anything, and Rav is going to end up over there and starting literally in an empty place, and there's nothing over there, and building everything from scratch, until he becomes the equivalent of Shmuel and surpasses him even in Bavel. But that's what his mission was, to go ligmar reise b'Bavel and to go teach Torah in Bavel. The next source we have, of course we did that also, is that when Rav went down to Bavel, so before he went down, his uncle Chia took him in front of Rebbe and said, Rebbe, give him smicha. And he gives him the full manti, the full smicha. He gives him kiavanach is rabbi lebavel amal rabchil rebbe ben achaisi my nie nephew yere the bavel yere should he paskin is it a heter yere yes yadin what does yadin mean dayin mean chayshmishmet even as chayshmishmet yadin yere yere yadin yadin that's the thing yate bechayres she says should he be matir bechayres which one has a mum or not she wants to know daddy said al yate. So Mar says, why shouldn't he do that? After all, he was a big expert. So Mar says he didn't want to do it because like this, he's going to be matzeh b'chayres and other people will learn from him and it's not going to be good because then they'll think they'll be mekel and therefore it was a more hashkafa position not to teach him, not to give him the smicha on hataras b'chayres. But clearly, yeri, yeri, yadin, yadin, he got from Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rebbe got a smicha all the way back until Hillel, until the Zugais, and therefore it was a direct line of smicha Rebbe to Talmud, continuing with Rav into Bavel. Yes, what's your question?
I don't understand why he didn't forgive him for 13 years.
He didn't forgive him
because he's going to go down to Bavel?
He wanted him not to be able to stay in Eretz Yisrael. Want him to know,
motivate him,
that, you know what, there's nothing for me to do over here, I better go down. And that's what happened, and that's exactly why he went down to Bavel.
By the way, Gemara is from Gemara, the etymology?
Well, what?
Gemara d'Oraisa, is that the etymology from Gemara?
Where's Gemara d'Oraisa? Ligma, yeah, to teach. Yeah.
So that's the
yeah, correct.
So it's
correct.
A real premonition because he's essentially.
That's what he's going to do. Well, yeah, correct. He's going to be teaching Oraisa Babalo, correct. Now, what happened? So basically, he's going down to Babalo. Which year is he going down? So if Shri were going right, if Shri were going to live at the end of the time they're going in, right, in the year 9000, whenever he lived, and he writes that we know he went down to Babel in the year 219. He says, exactly. He went down those and those many years, according to the, from the time of the Yevanim, from the time of the Greeks, from the, when the Greeks came to Israel, and we know he went down, it comes out to exactly the year 219. Rebbe was still alive, maybe he had just died, he was dying that year, and Rav goes down to Babel in the year 219 CE. Was it a mere 1800 years ago? Not so much, 1800 years ago, we know that's when he went down to Babel. What happens when he goes down to Bavel? So look at the welcome that he gets in Bavel. Quite fascinating. The Gemara Shabbos are like this. Shmuel v'Kalno, now we can, maybe might have learned this in the past, but now we see it in the context, we'll understand what happened. Shmuel, well, where was Shmuel? Shmuel had learned in Israel by Rebbe. He didn't quite reach the level of Rav from Rabbeinu HaKadosh. He didn't get the smicha, even though he wanted to give it to him, but he didn't get the level. And also we saw last time, he didn't have that close bond with Rebbe, he was his personal doctor, and he would learn by him, but not like Rabbi Yochanan says, what do you mean? Rav and Rebbe, they were talking fire with each other. We don't find out about Shmuel. So clearly, Shmuel was also a tremendous girl. He was the gavel in Bavel. He was living at that time already in Bavel with his friend Karner. So Shmuel the Karner, have a Yasvi, they were sitting Aguda on the banks of Nahar Malka. Nahar Malka is one of the rivers. Remember, if you look in Nahar Da, so all these canals going across, all these rivers going across, Nahar Malka is the river on the banks where Nahar Da is situated. Just like Paris is on the Seine River, and New York is on the Hudson River, right? And then Cairo is on the Nile River. So too, which is Lime, on the river. So too, Nahar Da is on the Nahar Malka. That's where it was. So, what? Nachal Gichon, exactly. Good point. So Shmuel v'Kalno, have a Yasvi, they were sitting at Guda the Nahar Malko. They were sitting on the banks of the Nahar Malko, right? And they were talking and learning. Chazinu, and look inside. Chazinu lemaya the kodolu v'achiri. So the waves were very high, v'achiri. And they had a funny complexion to it. So Amale Shmuel v'Kalno, remember Shmuel, besides being the Gol Adar in Bavel, he was also the astrologist and a doctor and everything. So Shmuel turns to Karn and he says, Gavra Rabba Kaasi Mimarava. Obviously, these were holy people. And they turned to each other and said, it looks like a great man is coming from the west. Where's the west? Eretz Yisrael, right? It's all the west. So a great man is coming from the west. V'chayesh b'mei ayeh. It looks like he has stomach problems. And a miracle takes place that he gets to relieve himself on the boat. And therefore the waves, they want to, you know, put like a mechitza. So the waves are going way up. And because the waves are going up, and then, and he also noticed that the waves are either discolored, it's not clear why the waves are discolored, or because the waves are not going its natural way. Basically, he saw on the water that a miracle is taking place. It must be this great scholar is coming in from Eretz Yisrael. He turns to Kahn and he says, Zil, toile akankane. I want you to check out akankane. What's akankane? By the way, in modern Hebrew, there's an expression, lithot al kankano, right? When it means lithot, to wonder, al kankano, al tisakel ba kankan, el masha b'seichel. Kankan is the outside. Lithot al kankano. My Rebbe, Shlomo Fischer, once said that he once, when he was a young man in his 20s or 30s, he was deep into Kabbalah. And then he went to speak to one of the, one of the G'dolim in Kabbalah at that time from Eretz Yisrael came to see him and to speak to him. And Shlomo Fischer tells me, Vani choshev shu ba lithot al kankani. You want to see, you know what? That's like doing. What?
Am I the real deal?
Exactly. You know, who is this young person learning Kabbalah? Shlomo Fischer is a big Mekubal. Today also he knows everything. Kala Terakula, Mayur Rabbi. But he told me that he was in the 60s. Now it's what, 2010. So this is what, 50 years ago? He must have been a man of 30, 35, whatever he was. He said, and came to speak to me in learning. And I realized he probably came Lithot al Kankani. It's a modern Hebrew expression. Same thing, come to the Gemara. Zil Toile Kankane. Go, see what type of person he is. Go check him out. So Azali goes. Ashkechel Rav. He sees Rav, person on the ship. Amalei tells him, Minayin shein kaisin tefillin el al gabei beimetoyva. How do you know the only red tefillin on the leather of a kosher animal? Right? Who says you only have to use leather of a kosher animal? Why can't you use the leather of a horse? Why does it have to use leather of a kosher animal? Amalei, so he tells him it's a posik. Dichsiv, medrash, medrash halacha, leman tiyeh teres Hashem beficha, min ha-moysar beficha. The pasuk which talks about tefillin, leman tiyeh teres Hashem, the words of Hashem should be beficha in your mouth. Doesn't mean your mouth. Tefillin, hand and arm and head. But min ha-mutar beficha, what's permitted in your mouth, the tefillin have to be made from something which is permissible to be eaten, kosher animal from a kosher hide. Wonderful. Next question he asks him. That's a legit question. Next question he asks him, midayin ledam shu adom. How do you know blood is red? He answers him. He says in Eman, like he says. He says, what do you mean? So therefore, water was red like dam, and dam is red, and therefore, you know that it's considered adumim, which is red, and therefore you know it's red. Okay. Interesting question. Next question. How do you know the bris milah is done on that part of the body? Maybe it's somewhere else. So he answers him, not anywhere in the Torah where it is, right? Where is that? How do you know Mila's done over there? He asked him. Prove to me. How do we know? We all doing it. Bring me a raya. So he says, Nemakan Olosha, Nemalahan Olosha. Malon Dovashai Sapri, Afkan Dovashai Sapri. It's used the word Arlo. Arlo is from something which bears fruit. So you have to do it on the part of the body which propagates, which bears fruit, and that's how you know that Mila is done on that part of the body. Shemar says, Ema Liboy. Then he asked him, Karna asked him, Ema Liboy. Maybe it's the heart. You have to cut off a piece of the heart. It seems like it says, "Umaltem es olas levavchem." The olah talks the heart. It's also called the foreskin of the heart, which is, you know, the olas levavchem, the part that's not pure in your heart. So maybe that's what it talks about. So maybe osnom, maybe it's the ear. It seems like it says, "Hine olah osnom." So maybe it's cut off a piece of the ear. So he answers him, "Donen olas etamo, ma olas etamo, me don olas etamo, ma olas shein etamo." Meaning, we're talking about olah, which is a pure olah. Whatever it is, Allah, not Allah's slave, and not Allah's oizen, only Arla. And only Arla means bris milah, we're the place where we do it. Fine. After he gave him that, you know, the second or third question was somewhat of a degrading thing. Here Rav comes. Remember, Rav is ready in Eretz Yisrael. He's considered the Gal Hadar just about. He's the Talmud of Rebbe, and he come and he, you know, ask him such questions. Obviously,
Prava,
Litot al Kam Kano. Rav doesn't like it. Amalei tells him, he says, "My Shimcha, what's your name?" He says, "Karna." He says, "Amalei, ye Ravo, the tapig le kalna beinei. You should have a horn come out through your eyes." Meaning, he basically gives him, you know, what are you doing to me, basically? I'm coming here to Israel. I'm not saying you give me the greatest cover. What are you almost making fun of me? I mean, you're treating me like a little kid. Rav does not like it, and he shows The karna, exactly, you know, that's what it sounds like in the Gemara. Let's tell you what the Gemara says. Fine. Finished. L'soif ayele Shmuel abese. So Shmuel takes him to his house. Oichle nahamu desari. He gives him a bread made out of barley. V'chasa dehasana. And some, you know, some type of fish. V'ashkaya shicho. And he gives him wine to drink. Right? Now, all these things are supposed to make you... No, diarrhea. What's it called?
Diuretic.
Because he obviously had terrible stomach pains. So Shmuel was a doctor. So he gave him the prescribed, he gave him, took him for lunch, and he gave him those foods so that he should have to make diarrhea and it should fix his stomach. But he didn't show him a bathroom, because then it all comes out and nothing. Right, let it first go around to the stomach and then fix everything up together and, you know, cause him pain, but it'll cure him. And that's what he meant to do, Shmuel. So, Laid Rav Omar, Rav was not happy. Again, he turned and he said, Man de mitzaren leiluk me leibone, v'chein hava. He said, whoever's causing me such pain, who's in terrible tzar, leiluk me leibone. He shouldn't have any sons. V'chein hava. That's what happened. Shmuel only had daughters. He didn't have any sons because of this, you know, saying, statement of Rav. Now, why Rav said it like this? He obviously was in terrible pain, but the Gemara is trying to say, I saw Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein writes that it's a whole question, could a doctor treat a patient against the patient's will, if you know it's good for him?
Or without the patient's will.
Or without the patient's will, right. So Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein means right from this Gemara that you could. Because you see Shmuel treated Rav, and he wasn't happy about it. He gave him basically, he cursed him out. He said he shouldn't have any sons. But he did it because he had to cure him. So bring it right from there that he actually could do it. But anyway, that's Rav's first welcome that he has in Bavel with the two G'dayim, Karna and Shmuel. First thing that happens. Okay, next what happens, he goes into the Beis Medrash, he comes into Narda, that's where he's coming, and he goes into the Beis Medrash of the Gadol HaDor, Narda, Rav Shele, he was the Rosh Yeshiva. So the Gemara says, my Kriyas HaGever. It says that when the Kriyas HaGever, right, that's when it's Mishiyakin, right, when the rooster cries. So what my Kriyas HaGever? So Gemara says, you know, in the Beis HaMikdash, you start Kriyas HaGever. So what does it mean, Kriyas HaGever? Rav Omar Koro Gavro, Rav Shilo Omar Koro Tanagoylo. Either man cries out, man starts waking up, or the rooster starts waking up. Okay, what happens? Rav Iklo La'ased Rav Shele. Rav goes to the place of Rav Shele. Lehava Amoyres, he goes to the Rav Shele's Beis HaMikdash the first time he comes into an Adah. Lehava Amoyres, Lemeke Maled Rav Shele. So there was no Amora there. What's Amora? Amoraim. Amoraim are saying. They would say over the teaching of the Rebbe. So Rav Shele was Rav Shiva, and you had an Amora, a saying over person, that would translate, I suppose, and say over the Shir to everybody else. So there was no Amora there to say it. So come Rav Aleva, come Afarish. So Rav gets up there, and he explains it, right? And he was teaching the Halacha of Kriyas HaGever. But Rav didn't just say what Rav Shele said, because he was Rav. So he added his own explanation. So he said, "My Kriyas HaGever, Ko Gavro. It's when the man calls out." Meaning, men wake up, it's a certain time in the morning. When man calls out, it's morning. So Amalei Rav Shele turns to this Amora, this person that's coming, a stranger, and is saying over the shear, he says, "Vilema Ma Ko Tanagoyle." Well, that's not what I said. I said, Kriyas HaGever means the rooster crows. You should repeat what I say. So Rav tells him, Amalei, Avuv l'chori zemer, l'gardoi l'mikablu minei. Avuv is like a flute. A flute for, you know, certain people, I guess for chori, I don't know what that means, chori, I think maybe free people or whatever, highly, you know, for singers, is zemer. For them, it's considered a musical instrument. But l'gardoi, for tanners, l'mikablu minei. They won't know what to do with it. Basically, you know, when I was in the, what's the name? Kiyavah Kaimna Alei de Reb Chia, when I would stand in front of a Priya, Umefarishna Machias Ageva Kor Gavra, Veloyam Ali Velamidi. When I would explain in front of a Priya, the Gol Hadar, the great Reb Chia, the Priya you know from Bavel, and he went there as well, and he wrote the mission together with Rebbe, right? The Priya and Reb Shaya, the Tesefta, and I told him Kriyas Ageva means man, Veloyam Ali Midi. And you're telling me, Eim Kol Tanagoyle, you have the audacity to tell me maybe means a Tanagoyle, a rooster, in other words, I'm coming from Eretz Yisrael, from the place, the academy, with the Priya, with Rebbe, and I always explain it like that. It's like taking a flute to the tanners. You know what the tanners know about flute, about music. That's basically, again, Rav comes from Eretz Yisrael with all the Torah he has. They don't know, almost don't know what to do with Rav. Meaning, you know, it looks to me that he's so much more than everybody else around him. Amalei, she tells him, Marnihu Rav. Amalei, she turns to him, Marnihu, who are you? She says, Rav, my name is, whatever it is. So they found out who he was. He said, he's Rav. Everybody knew already at that point. She said, Neinach Ma. You know, maybe you shouldn't be the Metargen. You should actually be sitting at the head. So Amalei tells him, Amri, Shritakas Le Poitz Amei. You can Amri, Hoch Amalei, Ma'am, because I'm already up here, I'm not getting down. Whatever it is. But clearly we see that Rav is coming from Eretz Yisrael with all his knowledge, with all his Torah, and the ones in Bavel are not really up to the level of Rav.
But at least they're starting to acknowledge it.
They acknowledge it. And they clearly acknowledge it, and that's what I'm saying. Yes, they're not up to the level of Rav, and you see that right away, but clearly they acknowledge that, you know, we have somebody special in our midst, somebody who is way ahead of everybody else. Because in number 5, for example, Rav Manye Reish Galusa Anagalmus, the Reish Galusa points him as a overseer, maybe for Parnassus, whatever it is, as an overseer on the people selling stuff in the market. No, the Reish Galusa was in charge of many different things. So one of the things to make sure there's no price gouging going on. So he was in charge. He put Rav in charge. And Rav only would complain and would only, you know, admonish the people on the content, but not on the size. You know, not that he went too much or too little, but only on the quality. I suppose that's what it means. So the Reish Galusa put him in jail. So all Rav Kalna, quickly gets up there and he tells him, you know, you don't know who you're dealing with. You're dealing with Rav over here. You know, you can't just tell him what to do. He's head and shoulders above everybody else. And right away they freed him. So like Stewie says, they right away quickly acknowledged that, yes, Rav is a stranger coming from Eretz Yisrael. You know, it's somewhat different. Till now, every time in Esau, we always see, Allah Ali mi Bavel. Hill comes from Bavel, and Rav Chiya comes from Bavel. And now we have the opposite. Rav comes from Eretz Yisrael, and everything Bavel acknowledges, at this point at least, when Bavel is, yes, it's a very, very big place, Bavel, and Adah, but it's still in its infancy when it comes to the Makom Torah. And therefore, when Rav comes from Eretz Yisrael with his direct line with Rabbeinu HaKadosh, so people start to acknowledge it, people start realizing it. So much so, the Gemara says in number 6, that Rav Shmuel and Rav Asi iklu lebei Shavua ben. The three of them were about to go into a bris, so Rav didn't want to walk in front of Shmuel. So Gemara says, why didn't he want to walk in front of Shmuel? He said, because he saved my life. So I owe him. You know, when that time when I was sick and I was stomach pains and everything, maybe from the trip, he saved my life. So he didn't want to come in, walk in front of Shmuel. Shmuel says, I can't walk in front of Rav. Rav is way above everybody else. He's much older than me. He's head and shoulders. He's Rav. And then the end, Gemara says that Rav went first and then Shmuel, and Shmuel stayed at the end. Whatever it is, they clearly realized that Rav was this great person. Now, what happens? A few years after Rav comes to Bavel, year 219, Rav Shela, the Rosh Hashiva, is Nifta. So the question is, who is going to take over the yeshiva in Ardom? So it should make sense, it should go to Rav. According to Rav Shela Goyen, Rav didn't want to take it. Is that not right? This is Shmuel's town. He grew up over here. He's a huge gadol in his own right. I'm a newcomer. I'm not going to take it away from Shmuel. And therefore he decides that I don't want to stay over here because I'm not taking it away from Shmuel. And maybe if I stay over here, people will flock to me anyway. Let me go somewhere else. Somewhere where there's nothing going on and I'm going to open my own yeshiva. In other words, he was offered the position and he passed it up.
What? Why isn't that as big a shock?
Why is that a big shock? Was she staying in town? It's worse.
Well, you leave town and open your own yeshiva and you pull everyone away from that yeshiva.
But at the end, the Gemara says, remember, this was Nardal. This was the yeshiva. Let me ask you a question. It's like similar to like, you know, you come to, give me an example. What's like the big yeshiva? For example, you had Lakewood yeshiva, right? Mm-hmm. So they have this big gullah come in and he says, well, yeah, make your next yeshiva Lakewood yeshiva. It's not fair. There's a son over there. Let me go somewhere to Muncie. Far away, it doesn't make a difference. Okay. Meaning, but I understand that. I mean, I'm not going to go to Lakewood and take away. I stay in Lakewood and open my own place in Lakewood. It's even worse. I'm going to go far away like this. He'll have his place. The Cutlers will run Lakewood. I'll be doing a thing. And I'll go somewhere else. I'll start new. At the end, what do you gain from that? At the end, you'll have two great centers. Because Nadal wasn't something in his infancy that Bahamian's going to take all the people. Nadal was the place. Was the yeshiva. Was the place. No. He was there for hundreds of years. So you're not going to break that. That's always going to continue. All you'll do is you'll gain and you'll be Marbitz Torah more. You'll make the whole other part. And what Rav does, he goes to a place which is more south of Nadal. Sura and Mosse Machsaya, which is over there, Mechuza, all that area, is more south, not Mechuza, but Mosse Machsaya is more south than Nadal, and there's nothing there. The Amaratzim, people don't know anything. There's a place which is bereft of Torah, there's nothing there. And here Rav, the great Rav, is going to open up shop. And that's what he does. And he starts with the people, and he starts opening yeshiva, and before long, he has this great academy, and these become the two great academies in Bavel, Nadal, which it always was, and Sur. And if Rav would have decided, you know what, you're offering it to me, why should I stay in Nadal? Nadal's the place, right? I should be over here. You'd only have one place. You wouldn't have the whole other area. You wouldn't have the whole Sur. You wouldn't have the two great academies. Instead, Kuzi goes down south, you have two great academies. You have Nadal, you have Sura, the two great places, and we're going to soon see, we'll do that next week, that the relationship between those two yeshivas, it wasn't like, you know, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, where they argued, and it was two different academies. Here, you had many Talmidim going from one to the other. So in effect, it became like one big Makom Torah with the two great academies in that same huge, you know, just expanded the Torah of Bavel, rather than in the center, by all the rivers, it expanded to further south, and Rav took an empty, desolate place, and that's where he started. That's really what happened, yes.
No,
you started saying about the Nickelsberger.
No, so he was a Rebbe in the Safra Yeshiva, and he had too many people who were dovek to him, instead of the Rosh Yeshiva, whoever it was at that time.
He went far to Monty.
No, so the Rebbe came to him and said, you know, you're hashtaring what's going on over here. He says, maybe we should expand the outpost. So he went there and he took
to Monty.
Yeah,
but Tzapa was in Williamsburg. It's far away. That's 50 miles.
He wanted to send him far enough away so he could have a shkuna there of his Talmidim. The Marbitz are in another place.
Yeah.
So his Talmidim went with him to an extent. So he did take people with him. But Ralph must have taken some people with him.
Probably.
He had to start a yeshiva, one man,
give a yeshiva. Yeah, you're right. So look what Reb Shila going right. Number 7. The Kadnach Nafshe de Reb Shila, when Reb Shila dies, have Rav Shmuel Hacha, Rav Shmuel both there, Va'ad Berei Rav L'Shmuel Mekamei. And Rav, you know, pushes himself away in front of Shmuel, V'lo Itzt Be Rav L'Mehev Rei Shalei. And Rav did not want to be the Rosh Hashiva over him. U'la Shuvei Shuvul Shmuel Kamei, and to put Shmuel in front of him, meaning he should be in front of Shmuel. He didn't want to do that. Surely Shmuel didn't want to be in charge of Rav. The Havikosh is Rav Mishmuel Tuva. Rav was older, much older than Shmuel. Presumably, he might have been bigger as well. But clearly he was older than him. So Shmuel says, I cannot take the position above Rav. And Rav says, well, I cannot take the position above Shmuel because this is Shmuel's town. And he was here before me. And he was a golden bubble before me. So the Gemara in Ruben says nobody wants to go in front of anybody, etc., etc. So Mishum Hachi number 7a, Shafke Rav L'Shmuel Benado. Rav left Shmuel in Ado. Duhu Duchte, that was his place. Vuhum Bokam Torah, and that was a place of Torah. Nado was the place. Vizrachik, and he went far away. The Duchte to a place. The Loihave Bei Torah, that it was nothing at all. It was a midbar. There was Sura, which is called Masse Machsaya, the whole area. There were many Jews over there. They didn't even know Basa B'chalav. Basic Basa B'chalav, they did not know.
It's like the West Coast.
It's like the West Coast, yeah, but you know, we can relate to it. It's like, you know, Rav Moshe Aaron comes to America and there's nothing over here. Okay, they escaped from Europe, whatever it is. But even, yeah, you know, 50 years ago, people came from New York and said, let's go to L.A., there's nothing there, and we're going to set up shop over here. Why are they doing it? The Shem Shemayim, right? The ones that came to L.A., we're going to build Torah over here, we're going to build Yiddishkeit over here. That's what Baron Kotler did. Baron Kotler, think about it. He could have stayed in New York. He said, no, I'm going to go to Jersey. Well, maybe another reason, whatever it is, but they went to places. Here, Rav goes to a place. Many Jews there.
They weren't trying to build the community there. They were trying to bring boys out of
the community. That could be. But here Rav clearly says, I'm going to go to a place, and there's so many Amoratsim over there, many Jews over there. Again, this whole southern part of Babel, tons of Jews. Jews all lived there for 800 years, so a lot of Jews there, but Amoratsis. Nobody knew anything. And Rav says, I'm going to go over here.
Yeah, Nardal would be so isolated.
It wasn't. Nardal was the center.
Far,
yeah, they're pretty far. What is 50 kilometers? 100 kilometers? Not so close.
Where?
Sur Nardal?
He used to walk back and forth.
Not walk back and forth. It was a few days travel, probably.
He used to walk back and forth.
Okay.
It was doable.
Yeah.
There were conversations happening back and forth all the time.
You know what, Alan, Ivan, I understand. If everything is taken in the center, then when you're not part of the center, you're out of it. I mean, come on, look at New York City, and then go down 30 miles down in southern Jersey. There's nothing doing over there. Nothing. People, a lot of Jews over there, nothing doing over there.
Especially then.
Right? I mean, you think about it. It's not so crazy. If you're not in the center, you're out of it. She said, V'omar Rav, and Rav says, Hey, Sevach, I'm going to listen over here. Ki heicha de lahave teure b'hai duchter. There should be teure, there should be Yiddishkeit in this place. I think was going to say that. Rav Vikamatza Vagoda Bogedi brings down two Gemars. Let's see the two Gemars. Number 8, next page. 8, 8a and 8b all show the same things. It says like this. Kisolig Rebbe Lozo, Elozo went. Ashkechele Zire. So Rav had a shita. Wait, one second. Rav had a shita that the Khal is the other. So he told me he's the other.
It has to be the other.
I know. So Rav had a shita that the other is treif. You cannot have other. Other is strength, right? So he said, with Solig Rebbe Elazo, so when Elazo, Rebbe Elazo was an Amor, goes up, where did he go up? He goes up to Etzal, Ashkechei Liziri. He finds Ziri, we're going to soon learn about him, he's in Etzal. Amalei turns him, Iketana Dasnei L'Rav Chal, who is the one who taught my Rebbe Rav? Rebbe Elazo was a Talmud of Rav, Rebbe Elazo. Not Rebbe Elazo from the Mishnah, but Rebbe Elazo. He was a Talmud of Rav. Who taught my Rebbe his halachas on Chal? Then he forbade all the Chal. So, Achvele Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdumi, so they pointed out Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdumi, so they say, Amalei told him, Ani lo shini shilei Chal Greger, I have nothing to do with it. Not me. So, Yimar says, Rav Bikab Motzo, the Godar Bo Geder. What does that mean? He found an empty valley, the Godar Bo Geder. Look what he says. Look in Rashi. Bikab Motzo, in other words, he found an empty valley and he made a fence. Amei haratzim oyu. They were amei haoretz. Umezalzalei b'mitzvus. They didn't care about mitzvus. V'hichmir aleihen. He was machmir on them. La'asar siyag la'achikon min ha'aveiro. That they should make a fence. They shouldn't do averus. Ka'odem ha'gere pirtzo putzo. Bika putzo l'shoimro. Like you have an empty valley and you put a fence around it. That's where Rav came. He came to an empty valley. The Gemara says, what happened? The Rav ikla l'tatal push. There was a place in Babel down there next to Sura, Tatal Push. Shama, listen what happened. Shama La'itza. So Rav heard there was this woman. He comes and sets up shop in Sura over there in that area. He hears a woman, tells her friend, Riva de Bisra, tell me, what's the recipe for a quarter of a pound of meat? How much milk do you put into it in order that it should come out good? How do you marinate? How much milk do you need to marinate a quarter of a pound of meat? What's your recipe, the marinating sauce on milk, on the meat? How much milk do you need to put inside it? So Rav turns around and says, hey, like me, a basa b'chal of aso? What's going on? We don't know basa b'chal is forbidden. Ya'akev, because of the chalim. So that's it. I'm making new takonos over here. Others are forbidden. Why is others forbidden?
Because
the other has the milk inside. Now, even though pialach is okay. Correct. So they have milk inside, but it's made out of meat. So they say, meat and milk. You see, you can have the other, so you can have other milk and milk also. So in order to prevent that, he said, all others are forbidden. I guess you have to do that. You're dealing with people who don't know anything, don't know halacha. So Rav comes, it shows that Rav comes to a place that don't know the basics, and therefore everything he does is Pirtzah, he makes a get there in order to build up Yiddishkeit over there. The Gemara says two more stories like that. One is about an Erev or something like that. The same thing. The third thing is about sitting on a tree. What tree you can sit on Shabbos. The Gemara has a whole question. If it's a fruit tree, not a fruit tree. And the Gemara says, no, Rav forbade all types of trees. And the Gemara says anything. Rav bika motzo v'goda bo geder. In other words, he came over there and he saw people don't know anything. Therefore, he has to make Gedarim, otherwise, you know,
it
must be very tough.
This is the beginning of the Chumras.
But it's been tough
for the people to accept him.
The
idea was that in Eretz Yisrael it was a given that everyone was
they learned it. That's all they were learning.
The level of Aratzim was so higher in Eretz Yisrael.
There were some,
but they weren't that bad.
Correct.
So now all of a sudden you go to a desolate area where the Jews are scattered and have no leadership at all because they're so far away from the local yeshiva.
And they're not anything. Amaratim, pure Amaratim.
Right. So how receptive were they to the Chumras?
Yeah. Depends how much.
You're right.
This guy walked into the basement and said, "Who was the guy who taught my Rebbe this Chumra?"
No one's going on here.
What are you talking about? We didn't teach that Chumra here.
But anyway, but then there are two more things. But just to show you, Rav didn't stam. Right. I mean, it's not that Rav. No, I don't want to make it clear. It's not that Rav came from Eretz Yisrael and says, "Oh, Bava doesn't know what they're talking about." Chas v'shalom. Rav, Gemara says number 9. Rav ikel Bava. Rav comes to Bava. Chazinu de kokove halele bereish yachal. So he sees that they're reading halal on Rosh Chodesh. They read halal Rosh Chodesh. Now Rosh Chodesh, you're not supposed to say halal because you don't say full halal. So Sovel afsakinu. You wanted to stop it. Kim lechazal de komadal de luge. He saw that they skipped half of halal, which means they only said half halal. They must have a valid minik. So Rav wasn't just trigger happy. He said, "Oh, this is not good." Clearly not. He saw something. They must have a minik. I'm not getting involved with it. Minik avasem b'yedem. Where he sees clearly, isa v'hetzer, bas v'chalov, like this. People don't know what they're doing. Then he says, "I got to make done." He wasn't stopping. "Oh, this is no good." He didn't go against the minhagim of Bavel. Any valid minik? Absolutely. Minik avasem b'yedem. But things we saw which was lax, that's where he had to make a get around it, and that's where he had this chumras in these places. And Gemara says, "Atkei kach." Years later, that in the Hardah they did this, and in Surah they did this. They had different minhagim. You know, in the Hardah they would eat the chal, in Surah they would not eat the chal. Became later like that for generations to come. Why? Because Rav was the Rav. Just like we have, you know, we say the Hungarians do this, and then the Yekis do this, Hungarians do this, and Chassidim do that. Why? Because I'm saying was the Rav of the whole Hungary, and everybody followed him, and it became like that halacha for 200 years. So same over here. Rav comes to a place, there was nothing there beforehand. Rav comes, he builds up the entire thing. Like, just to show you how he builds it up, the Gemara says that he goes, and he builds his, he buys his big property or something. The Kanye Rav, the Ginuse de Be'rav, B'tzerusa de Abnich Sager, there's this big garden that he acquires of, he makes a kinyan by drawing on the walls, and Rav holds that's considered chazaka. The Kanev Hasim Talmudim Tuva, and that's where he sets up shop. He has this beautiful academy, big grounds. He opens up a bezdin, he opens up a yeshiva. Now, what's this? Why does he have this big ground, this big garden? Look in 10a. The Rav Zora Ginosa de Be'rav Meshari. Which means, you know, he had like a whole big dormitory. Tamidim came and they had food over there. They had a big garden. They had like a whole huge complex. Huge complex.
Yeshiva
community. Exactly. Setting up yeshiva community. So much so, the Gemara says in 10b, Ki ave mifte rabbanon me'rav. When a rabbanon left Rav, you know, at the end of this man, okay, we learned by you, we're going to go home. Have a paishu alfu masa rabbanon. 1200 stayed behind. Because they lived over there. In other words, Rav, in his tenure in yeshiva, he started with nothing and he built up a whole community with 1,200 people who are their regulars, who are living over there. They stay behind no matter what. Besides everybody else who's coming in and learning in the yeshiva, he built a yeshiva community. Exactly, Stu, exactly he said it. He put Surah on the map. Nadar was established. That was the Lakewood. That was the, you know, the Brooklyn, the, whatever you want to call it, the place of Bavel. Surely there was enough Torah over there. They had yeshivas, they had Nadar, they had the Besin, they had the Reish Galus, everything was there. Ralph comes there and says, "I'm not going to take away from Shmuel. He's there all the years. I'm going to go somewhere else." He goes to come a completely new place. He builds an entire yeshiva community. So much so that Igmar says, number 11, there were two great Batadinim in Bavel. Not today, every person opens his best in. But two Batadinim which had power. Chad ben Adar Shahaya Kvar. One in Ardor, which was there already, the Chad Besura, the Kaboy Rav. And one in Surah that Rav established, behind the Shmuel, that Shmuel says, Le Kazmina Pruzo, you can only write a Pruzo, a great, you know, official Bezdin, all the Oybe Beidin in Surah, Oybe Beidin in Ardor. These are the two communities. One was the established community, and one was built by Rav, and that became the second community. Remember, the yeshiva by Rav that he established, his yeshiva community, with the yeshiva, with the entire camp, with everything, the Bezdin, it outlasted Nardor by hundreds of years. This yeshiva lasted for 750 years. Rav's thing that he established in Surah lasted all the way till the time of the Goyim. Surah's lasted. Nardor closed down. They went to Pumbedisa. But Surah?
They're next door to one another.
What? And Nardor?
Yeah.
It did. Okay, but this was the original thing. And then you ask the Goyim, I think they even write, that the Beis Medrash of Rav and his community, this area, the whole thing, is the original one where Rav set up shop 750 years earlier. So think about it.
I don't remember
think about it. That's the issue that
he was having. Because Rav was the first one to institute chumras like this, because he had to at the beginning, it sort of carried through. Even though certain Pumbedisa didn't necessarily step in the line also, because they felt they didn't have to, because they had, I think I was able to
correct,
also.
Correct.
But the point is, the reason they lasted so long is because they were more stringent on themselves. And because they built their own community, the community you build yourself is the one that you want
rather than it just
and your children are going to go to the yeshiva.
Rather than it's just an outgrowth
exactly.
of the existing community.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Anyway, now we see it inside the development of Surah and Pumbedisa. Next week we'll see Rav and Shmuel together, and then we're going to see how that affects back to Eretz Yisrael.